I said, okay, well, would you like to go back to dancing? And the tears came. You know, it's going to take a couple weeks, but we'll do it safely.
You're listening to For the Love of Health, a podcast about delivering care and creating health, brought to you by Christiana Care. And now, here are your hosts.
Hello, I'm Megan McGurman.
And I'm Michael Chesney. Welcome to another episode of For the Love of Health, brought to you by Christiana Care.
Hearing the term sports medicine likely conjures up, for most of us, images of professional football players, you know, limping off the field, amateur boxers sitting in ice baths, or, you know, tennis players holding their elbow.
Yeah, what you probably aren't picturing is a dancer dealing with maybe painful swelling in her ankle tendons from doing too many pirouettes, perhaps.
But that's exactly the kind of thing that comes to mind for our guest today, Dr. Elizabeth Barchi, a sports medicine and dance medicine specialist here at Christiana Care.
Dr. Barchi spent many years of her life as a professional ballet dancer and is now focused on the medicine of dance. Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start big picture. What is the difference then between dancers and, say, football players?
Just as a football player, you would think would be different from a long distance runner, performance athletes, which encompasses dancers, figure skaters, cheerleaders, gymnasts, and of which we have a lot of figure skaters and gymnasts in this area in addition to our dancers. They're very different from, you know, a contact athlete or someone who plays with a racket. The expectations on their bodies are different. And so what we see a lot of is these patients tend to be a lot more flexible. They have greater ranges of motion. It's harder for them to stretch because they're naturally more hypermobile. You know, you have to work a lot with some of the perceptions of what they need to be able to do. So just as, you know, a sprinter is different from a long distance runner, our performance athletes do have different expectations than, say, a soccer player. And that's always important to keep in mind whenever taking care of one of, you know, any athlete, what their sport is, but especially a performance athlete.
You mentioned a couple of the things that separates them. But one thing you just said that's really interesting to me is you mentioned dancers and figure skaters. And yeah, absolutely. In Delaware, we certainly have a lot of them with a number of the high level rinks that we have in this area. So when you're treating them, there's a lot of similarities. What does that look like when they come into your office?
That's a great question. So a lot of my skaters, when they come into the office, very similarly to dancers, their injuries, a lot of them tend to be overuse, or overuse is in the background of the injuries. Most injuries are happening during a fatigue state. So either at the end of practice, at the end of a long season, at the end of a performance season, or running up to a performance, when their bodies are more fatigued just from extra practice, extra rehearsal. Because a lot of our skaters, too, they perform in showcases. And so they'll have rehearsal outside of their normal practices. There tends to be a lot of fatigue in the background, even if it's an acute injury, meaning they fell on the ice or they fell out of a pirouette or out of a jump, even though that might be what brought them into the office. There's typically something in the background, either technical deficiencies due to just pure fatigue and doing too many developes or too many jumps, or it's more of a mechanical issue with how they're moving. Maybe there might be a strength deficit somewhere along their kinetic chain. And so we see that setting them up for these acute injuries that end up bringing them into our office.
So if many of those dancers, figure skaters, gymnasts in this area are listening to our episode right now and are saying, I don't want to see Dr. Barchi, I don't want to be injured, you know, how can they prevent ending up in your office?
Two words, cross-training. When you look at the studies of where a lot of these injuries are coming from, it's two things. Poor cardiovascular endurance, which is surprising. You would think, you look at a dancer, you look at a figure skater, you say, how could they possibly not have the best cardio endurance? But actually, both of those, you know, you think you take a short program, it's 2 minutes. You take a long program, 4 minutes. And so most of this is just very short bursts of energy. And so that's not building up the cardio endurance that you need to be able to skate or dance safely. And not too much too soon. That's the other thing that I see a lot of dancers and figure skaters do. They say, all right, we're going to do it. And it just ends up being too much too soon. But if, you know, you wanted to get into either elliptical training because it's low impact, swimming, biking, those are great forms of cardiovascular endurance. Running is great. You just have to make sure that you're careful. Follow a program. University of Delaware has a return to running program that's really good to progress you through your goals. And then also just making sure your form is correct, not overstriding, and just basically not overdoing it. And then the other thing that we found is poor, what we call lumbosacral control. So control in the pelvic area. So for dancers, that's your rotator muscles. So how well do you control your turnout muscles to be able to turn out from your hips and not from your knees or your ankles? And so in figure skaters too, when you're landing on a blade, you require a lot of control and stability in that leg going all the way up the chain. And so if that's missing, you're going to set yourself up for a lot of lower extremity injuries. Plus, that can also go up the chain. So you can have lower back pain, upper back pain, neck pain, shoulder pain, just from having to do a lot of compensatory movements to correct for that lack of control down in the pelvic region. When dancers ask me, well, how do I build that? It's a great question. One of the easiest ways is to do Pilates and bar fitness. That's one where it's mostly standing and you're doing a lot of work turned in, which a lot of dancers hate working turned in, but it's really good for you. And it's a lot of endurance of those stability muscles. So adding that into their workout regimen can be really helpful in preventing injury. Plus, it improves performance. It's always amazing how much stronger, how much higher you can jump, how much higher your legs can go when you have that strong support and that strong foundation.
So if this performance athlete is following all of your recommendations, but something still doesn't feel right, at what point would they come to see you?
The sooner the better. Don't wait until you have a major injury. I so often will I'll walk into the room, we'll have the injury, and I'll say, when is the performance? And it's usually, you know, if I'm lucky, I have a couple of weeks to work with. Oftentimes, it's a matter of days. And so that's always very difficult. But the sooner you get in to see me, the easier it is to treat it in the sense of we'll be able to not only get you back, but get you better than you were before, improve performance, improve endurance, strength, and how you look and how you feel when you're dancing or skating. If you have something where it's a small pain and you're not sure, you think, oh, well, it just goes away. It's fine. It's only there when I land. You know, that's something that could develop into something that's more stubborn to treat and doesn't go away as easily, requires a lot more intervention and, God forbid, time away from dance or skating.
When someone comes in to get care from you, there is this little difference about what you want them to do when they come into the appointment. Can you talk to us about that?
I would love, in my ideal world, if all of my performance athletes brought their shoes and their skates to their appointments. Some of the issues that come up come from a poor fit of the shoe or the boot, or just the way that they're moving within that boot or shoe. Sometimes these injuries are actually simple fixes, you know, maybe a little bit of water over the box of a point shoe to stretch out that metatarsal, you know, or the shoe is just too wide and they need a narrower box. So there's oftentimes there can be little fixes, but it's really helpful if they bring their shoes and what they're wearing, their skates, to the appointment, because that allows me to really look at the whole picture and make sure we're not missing anything.
You can really hear it when you talk about the just the deep knowledge that you have, not just from a medical perspective, but from a performance perspective. Talk to us a little bit about your personal transition from the stage to the clinic.
I find a lot of dancers and performing athletes, they actually really gravitate towards medicine because there's a certain level of discipline that we've grown up with that translates very well to medicine, you know, a dedication and a commitment, attention to detail, and just that appreciation and understanding that it's an art form, that you're always striving for excellence and that there's always something that you can work on and improve on. For me personally, you know, understanding how important things are, you know, as a dancer, how important a performance could be. You don't know if it's your last performance. You don't know if it's going to affect your casting in the following season. It allows me to empathize and understand. I find that's helpful to set my performance athlete at ease, knowing that I'm not just going to say, take 6 weeks off, that we're going to have a conversation and make a decision that's best for them as a whole person, and not just their ankle, but taking into account every aspect of who they are.
And do you also find yourself talking to some of these dancers and saying, I was also in that show, and, you know, having some of that personal connection with them as well?
You've literally been in their shoes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. I've literally been in their shoes. Maybe not figure skates. I struggle on the ice personally, but very much appreciate it. It's helpful because sometimes I can level with them. If I've done their repertoire, I can say, oh, what show are you in? Oh, that's a lot of jumps. That's a lot of petit allegro. Okay, I understand why your ankle hurts right now. We're all about building rapport. And so to have that rapport of, I can empathize and I've been where you are and I know what you're going through is, I think, very helpful in building that trust that I'm going to do my best to do right by you and help you be the best that you can be.
And as you're connecting with so many of these dancers, have any of these stories really stuck with you? Is there one that, you know, you go back and tell your professional colleagues, this was a real win for me?
So I had a dancer a little while ago who came to me as a, what I would call that Hail Mary second opinion, where they're just like, you know, I don't know what I'm going to get out of this appointment, but I'm going to show up anyway just to say I did. She actually had been struggling with a knee injury, which was related to poor lumbosacral control, not having enough endurance in her turnout muscles, not having enough cardiovascular endurance. And she had developed this knee injury. And she had seen someone who didn't have the experience working with dancers, and they had prescribed physical therapy with someone who didn't have experience working with dancers, and she was struggling. And she ended up undergoing surgery because they couldn't get her better just with conservative management. But then she didn't have a great outcome with that surgery. She got very, very stiff in that knee again because she didn't have great care afterwards either, just because, you know, you need the specialized approach with dancers because, again, they look different. They have more range of motion. They require stability in these strange positions, unusual positions. And so not having that expertise was tough. So she came to me. I got an MRI just to make sure there wasn't like a loose body preventing her knee from moving that was not going to budge. Once we confirmed that the knee was clear, the MRI was clear, I said, okay, well, let's get you back dancing. You're going to push this knee until it's back to where it is. And, you know, you're going to do your bar fitness, your Pilates. I had her work with a really talented physical therapist who has a lot of experience with dancers. We set her up and I said, go for it. You know, the world is yours. And she kind of went off and the summer passed and I hadn't really heard from her. And then she was back on my schedule again. And so I was curious. I said, oh, I hope she's doing okay. And she comes in, and she's, you know, real nervous, I could tell. And I asked her, well, how's your knee? She's like, it's good. It's like, okay, and how was your summer? It was great. I did all the Pilates. I did all the bar fitness. I lifeguarded, so I was doing a lot of swimming. I did all the PT. And I was like, and how did your knee feel through all this? It felt great. No pain. She had gotten all the way back from all the hard work that she had done. And I said, okay, well, would you like to go back to dancing? And, you know, the tears came. I was like, well, you know, it's going to take a couple weeks to get back to where you want to be, but we'll do it safely. And this is how you're going to do it. That was very meaningful.
And what do you say to the dancers who come in not knowing if they can dance again? That has to be a heartbreaking conversation, especially on their end, if they're thinking they're not going to be able to get back on that stage.
You know, it's a multi-step conversation because a lot of times I always say we don't know. We don't know until we try. Let's get our information and let's try because we don't know until we try. Everyone's amazed at how much you can do with really high quality care.
You've been dancing for years and years. You've been in this area of medicine for many years as well. What's changed in that time and what do you see down the road?
It's really exciting. What I've seen change. One of the first places that you see it is with the care of the dancer. There was a time where our National Sports Medicine Conference, AMSSM, happens every year. And for the longest time, you know, dance never even was mentioned at that conference. But through a lot of work of my colleagues, we've actually, it's, you know, we have a dancer on the yearly poster. We had, I participated in a main stage presentation and discussion last year. It's in every, there's at least something in every single conference now. The knowledge and the understanding and the awareness that dancers and performance athletes are different has just grown immensely, even just in my own career. One of the things that I see a lot of is a big push for cross training now, from, you know, the dance studios, the dance teacher to the doctors. Everybody is talking about cross training. Let's get these dancers working in parallel, not in turnout. Let's have them doing cardio endurance. Let's have them weight training and really building a healthy body. The whole idea of dance with the body that you have, and you're going to be able to go a lot further. And then also just the mental health aspect of it too. There's been a huge blossoming of mental health awareness in dancers. Every patient, we always talk about the mental health aspect of their injury and what they're going through. And even once they're done, once they're fine and getting back into their performance, there's a lot of mental health discussion that happens during that time too. And that's something that I found to be particularly rewarding, because these dancers and these performance athletes are not just healthier physically, but they're healthier mentally. And those two go hand in hand, because the environments are a lot more healthy. And so then they're able to take care of themselves so much better. They're able to perform and perform with joy and really appreciate their art form.
And we certainly look forward to hearing more about your work as it continues to grow. Elizabeth, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And if you need more information on Dr. Barchi and ChristianaCare Sports Medicine, the link to that webpage is in our show notes.
Thanks so much for joining us, everyone, for this episode of For the Love of Health. Remember, leave us a review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever your favorite podcast app may be.
And check back in 2 weeks for another great conversation with a ChristianaCare expert.
If you have a topic that you'd like an expert to talk about in an upcoming episode, you can let us know by reaching out on our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok.
Yes, we are on all of the platforms, and you can also connect with us and view our show notes at ChristianaCare.org/podcasts.
Thanks again for joining us.
For the love of health.